Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
But when you present the suggestion that anyone is saying that it is time for a new generation and they're running against the person who is president, and it, when presented as though it's an attack, I would like to let us all be clear that the attack is misplaced. If the point of it is that we need leadership that is strong, because we have a strong leader in Joe Biden.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
All right, CP debate night. Steve Dace is going to be here with his trademark brand of election optimism. We'll talk to him in a minute about the VP debate. Joe Biden is apparently struggling with being out of the national spotlight. We'll talk about his emotional state, always very important to all of us. But we're going to start by doing the VP debate, Walz versus Vance. And I will apologize in advance. I was doing a very stupid Tim Walz impersonation on the radio today, and my voice is shot. So I'm going to do my best to get through this. I appreciate you sticking it out with me. Walz and Vance will meet in their first and possibly only vice presidential debate. I mean, definitely only. They're not going to schedule a second vice presidential debate in the next 3 weeks. Or this is not going to happen. It would be nice if there's another presidential debate. That I'd be in favor of, but apparently not. That's not going to happen. Now, of course, the New York Times is doing a situation here. They're talking about CBS and their approach to this debate. And I think this is kind of being mocked on the right, which is probably a good thing. But also, it's probably better than the previous efforts at this. Do you want to check that fact? For VP debate viewers, just scan the code. CBS is experimenting with a novel way to offer real-time fact-checking of the vice presidential debate on Tuesday. Just don't expect the moderators to frequently jump in. And I think that's much, much better. As I said before, like, if J.D. Vance says something that's false, there is a built-in fact-check system in this debate, which is Tim Walz. It's his job. It's his job to point out where he's lying and push back on it. And the same thing goes for if Tim Walz says something false, which he can't get through three sentences without doing, so I assume that will occur. It is J.D. Vance's job to get out there and fact check. It's not CBS's job. CBS answers the question, tries to keep the commentary and conversation focused. That's all I want from them. I don't need them coming out with their biased fact checks. There's no need for that. You want to put a code on the screen so that people can go check, see what is approved speech for CBS? Fine. And put it up there, put it on a news page, keep it out of the conversation, let them have a conversation. They're two adult men. They should be able to handle that. Of course, I don't know what you say to Tim Walz or about Tim Walz, because nothing we know about the man is real. I'm not even sure he's human, honestly. He is perhaps a human lying cyborg. So we'll see if he can actually get through this, because honestly, other than him being a really bad governor, we don't know anything about him. Everything he said about his life has been a lie over and over and over again. And I don't know. Do you know anybody who does that? I mean, Joe Biden said that he's had a lot of false stories about his own life. Maybe it's just a Democratic prominent politician thing to do, but usually you know the details of your own life. You might not know how to solve every problem in the country. You might not know every single news story. You usually know how to get through the commentary about your own life and what's occurred in it. This is a low bar to clear. Blake's Media has a piece up, debate preview, Tim Walz's 5 biggest lies. And Chris Bedford, kudos to him for actually going through the thousands of lies to pick the 5 biggest ones. This is like I think Rolling Stone just put out a list of the 100 greatest TV episodes in history. I believe they got number 1, probably right, by the way. Just my opinion. I'll let you look it up. But That being said, a lot of TV episodes. Like, how do you narrow that down to 100 episodes? Well, it's kind of what Chris Bedford had to do here. His five were the stolen valor stuff. Now, that's, of course, more of a category of lies than a single lie. He's been lying about that forever in a bunch of different ways. Then you have the time he blamed the mayor of Minneapolis for the deadly rioting in the city, even though there were requests and that were made for extra help. And he just said, well, that's not formal enough. Go through the formal process. I don't know. Maybe get the troops out there. Maybe you can get the National Guard out there to help. That would have been another way of handling that. The IVF thing, which is a fascinating one. IVF, him coming out and making a big deal in his campaign about how he had his daughter because of IDF, and that shows how important IDF is, and he's an IVF campaigner. And then it came out that it wasn't IVF at all. It was a totally different process, one that is not controversial in any way. So just, I mean, blatant lying for political gain on the back of your own child. That's a nice, interesting thing to do. The time he blamed school children or claimed school children in Minnesota didn't miss more than 10 days of school during COVID. This is a blatant lie. It was basically the whole year that they were out. He also falsely alleged that Trump wants to create a government agency to monitor women's pregnancies and prevent abortions. Yet another Handmaid's Tale style lie. This is the stuff that they just kind of make up and hope you go along with it because you're really dumb. Like, that's really sort of what their plan is here. We'll just say a bunch of stuff, hope the people in America are really, really stupid and they believe it. That's strategy from beginning to end from the Walz campaign. Of course, I don't know that he had time to put this potential lie in because maybe it doesn't even make the list, but it's yet another one. Tim Walz said he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. Actually, he was home in Nebraska. Now, Hong Kong and Nebraska, very similar places, and you can understand how one might mess that up. You know, you're in a cornfield and you're like, gosh, look at all this corn around here. Is this Hong Kong? Very common mistake. Not one that's just yet another lie to make yourself look like you've done more in your life than you actually have. Here's the tweet from Ileana Johnson. Tim Walz said he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre, but he was home in Nebraska. Local news reports and photographs show, and you see this particular photo here of Tim Walz. That ain't Hong Kong, boys and girls. That's in Nebraska. All of this comes to the point where you'd think there'd be so much to mock. And that's actually kind of why I have no voice today, because I was so annoyed at Tim Walz. Tim Walz, like, irrationally rubs me the wrong way. Like, I kind of even admit it. I'm not even trying to say it's rational. But there's something about his, like, persona that is so fake and irritating to me. I can't even describe how it grinds my gears in a way that almost no other politician does. Andrew Cuomo's up there. Okay, it's that level of just like, every time I see him, it's just so annoying. He's so annoying to me, and I can't understand how everyone doesn't see it the exact same way that I do. And you might say, well, that kind of is kind of insane. Every single issue is seen differently by many people. Why can't you handle that? I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you. I just want to say that it's like one of those things that, like, wait, no, I'm saying the sun, it's right there. That's the sun that's lighting the earth. And you're like, no, it's actually someone's got a fire. It's set across and they threw it up in the sky and the fire just paused in the middle of the air. It's actually only 100 feet away from us. And I'm like, I know it's not. That's the sun. It's millions of miles away. And we get in this big argument and I know I'm right and I can't prove it because I can't climb up to the sun to touch it. Although sometimes I kind of feel like I want to be shot into it, which is kind of where I am right now. SNL had a chance to really make fun of Tim Walz, finally. Honestly, it was an interesting effort. SNL picks Maya Rudolph, Jim Gaffigan to play Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And Maya Rudolph has already done Kamala. There's no real point in commenting on that. I mean, she is a serviceable Kamala Harris. Just mainly, she just kind of looks like her more than anything else. But Gaffigan's Walz, and Gaffigan's, you know, big left liberal. He does not like Donald Trump at all. But his Walz was actually really, really funny as an impersonation. But that's where it stops. And here's the picture of them, by the way, in their full costume. Dana Carvey as Joe Biden. I want to get to that in a second as well. But they didn't write any funny lines for him. Like, his persona was right on target. Like, the ridiculous fake energy, the nonsensical facial maneuvers, the weird voice cadence, like all the stuff that really bothers me about Tim Walz, he nailed. It was a really good impression, actually, really funny. But they didn't give him any funny lines, and they can't give him any funny lines. They can't give him any lines about how he lies about everything. They can't give him any lines about he can't even like tell the truth about how his daughter was born. They can't go into any of the bad policy failures or any of that. None of that can be mocked because they're trying to get him to win. So instead, they just have this sort of persona thing, which was, you know, admittedly pretty funny. The funny part about this, though, is after this, Dana Carvey comes in as Joe Biden. And Dana Carvey is, I don't know that he's a conservative. He seems to be more in the middle. But I don't think his politics are super hardcore. He likes to kind of just make fun of everyone. And this is what was lost over the past few years in the Trump era, where the comedians in this country largely just lost their ability to make fun of both sides. He comes in and he is, you know, making fun of how incoherent he is. He doesn't know where to walk. He's forgetting everything. It's a complete disaster. And what was so, it was very satisfying to watch it because it was the same stuff, honestly, that conservatives have been saying the entire time, making fun of him for these same types of things. But at the same time, it was really frustrating because the only time that this was allowed was after Joe Biden was out of the race. There was almost none of this that happened with previous people making fun of Joe Biden in these ways, saying he was completely incoherent. You might have a little bit of it referenced here and there, but they did not go all in. They didn't go all in until now. Now that they don't need him anymore, they let Dana Carvey come in and actually do a good impression of Joe Biden. It's kind of pathetic, isn't it? I think it is. So looking at these two tonight, it's going to be interesting to see. First of all, I don't understand how Tim Walz is not the weird one. To me, he's bizarre. His facial and hand gestures are just bizarre. He's all over the board. He's making lies up about his own life constantly. It's really honestly pathetic. J.D. Vance is really a representation of the American dream, growing up from deep poverty, all sorts of family problems, drug abuse in his family, rising up through that entire story to go to, was it Yale, and then become a venture capitalist and a senator and a best-selling author and a guy who was able to produce a movie about his life and all these things for Netflix. Bottom line is he's lived the American dream. And he's married to the daughter of an immigrant. This is a story that, like, the left should love. And, of course, they don't. Now, the VP debate, I will say, typically doesn't make much of a difference. So whoever's weird and whoever isn't that big of a deal. Now, probably the biggest difference and probably the most memorable moment from a VP debate was it Benson and Quayle, where you got the, I knew Jack Kennedy and you are no Jack Kennedy. The result of that was that Quayle and his ticket won anyway. So there's not really been much, honestly, in these debates. I want to talk to Steve Dace. I think we're going to come up with him in a second, but he is saying kind of the opposite, thinks this one might make a difference. I want to get into that with him in just a second. But Tim Walz is not going to be a 2028 factor. It's hard to believe he's a factor past November of 2024. He's just pathetic. But this is a big thing for J.D. Vance. He's got a low bar to clear here because everyone thinks he's the worst person in the world and just says weird things all the time. So he's got an opportunity with a good showing to potentially, if Donald Trump were to lose, sort of avoid the blame of that loss and maybe come back in 2028. Obviously, if Trump wins, his performance here is important as well, as he potentially could be the 2028 contender. Remember, this is the guy that Donald Trump hand-selected to kind of move his movement forward after he was gone. So a good performance here could take the Republican Party in one direction. And if, you know, some people like that, some people don't. And I will say the other part about this is, you know, normally you don't think about the vice president all that much. I don't know if you've noticed this, but been a bunch of assassination attempts lately. And so, like, the vice president, especially one under Donald Trump, is maybe more important than ever. So this is a big night tonight. We're going to have live coverage right here on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/stew. The promo code is stew40, I believe, is what they're doing. Anyway, you can get $40 off if you do that. I'm going to be there. I know Glenn's going to be there, a bunch of other people on a panel. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to go. So basically what you can do is you can start the pre-debate. It starts tonight. Watch the pre-debate coverage. Then the entire debate will be shown in full right here on Blaze TV. Don't just switch over to any other channel. And then at the end of it, we'll have a post-game show on YouTube or on Blaze TV. And then I think I'm going to go live on YouTube after that. The reason why I say I think is because my voice is just shot right now. So if my voice holds up, I'll do some live coverage and Q&A on youtube.com/studiosamerica. So go there, follow the page now. We're almost up to 100,000. We're getting so close to 100,000 followers. So go there and click follow. And when you do that, click the bell for notifications as well. You'll know exactly when we go live. They'll give you a little notification, at least if the algorithms allow them to do that. The algorithm robots don't always like conservative content, as you know. And this is why we always request your support, because without your support, you know, the content that's conservative just gets completely lost. So we appreciate it. All right, I want to talk to Steve Dace about the election, the VP debate, maybe some Israel stuff as well. We'll get into that here in just a moment with Steve Dace right here on Studios America. I don't know if you've noticed lately, I was listening to some of the footage from the hurricane. And these people are like, oh my gosh, we've lost everything. We're, you know, we can't get out. There's one story of a dad trying to get to his daughter's wedding, and he walked like 12 hours overnight to get to this wedding. First of all, you get no present after that. If I'm walking 12 hours to your wedding, no present. I'm taking the Cuisinart back. But it was interesting to see all that, because so many of these people who were out there stranded, had everything destroyed, they had none of their medication. Their medication was washed away. And, you know, a lot of times people will grab their, you know, their bug out bag or their whatever prep they can grab, and they don't even think about their medication. So that's why the Jace case is so important. The Jace case is helping people in these communities right now, in these places affected by the hurricane right now. I mean, you're in Asheville, North Carolina. You're thinking, I'm way far away from the coast. I'm never going to be affected by this. Well, now you are, so you need to prepare for this stuff. And it doesn't take a lot. I mean, the Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Nice and easy. Just fill out a simple form online, and you'll have it in case you need it. Go to Jace.com and enter the code STU at checkout. You'll get a discount on your order right now. Prepare yourself. Don't let yourself get caught in one of these things. Just prepare yourself with the medication that you need. It's Jace.com. Promo code is STU, Jace.com.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
I'm joined once again by Steve Dace. He's, of course, the host of the Steve Dace Show right here on Blaze TV. And Steve, we're going to be part of the big election or the debate coverage tonight. Tim Walz versus J.D. Vance. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I mean, you look historically at the VP debates, never a huge, huge impact. Is there a chance that we see something else tonight?
Well, historically, they've had zero. And so it doesn't take much to, you know, if it has a 1-point difference, that's 100% improvement over the previous, you know, how many years. Yeah. And I would have said prior to this cycle, Stu, that if Lloyd Benson delivering the all-time mollywop, maybe in the history of any debates, when he looked at Dan Quayle, who was already pretty embattled at that stage of the campaign, and said, Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine, you know Jack Kennedy, and you could just visibly see the blood drain from Dan Quayle's face.
It was so much worse than just the line.
Yes.
That next shot of him just standing there looking blankly into the camera.
Yeah. I mean, then George Herbert Walker Bush went out and won California. You know, so if that wasn't going to make an impact, I would say nothing would. But this has been an incredibly unpredictable cycle, an incredibly unconventional cycle, and everything is also incredibly calcified and polarized right now, that if a half a point of normies, which would equate to probably a few hundred thousand votes in this, you know, the seven states that actually matter right now, then yeah, I could see it having an impact, because I think that is how bone on bone, how little cartilage is left in the American knee at this moment. Now, if your follow-up question is, what do you think that would be? I have no idea. I mean, I don't have any clue what that would be, you know, but I do think it is possible.
Yeah. It's interesting the dynamic between them, because I find J.D. Vance incredibly annoying. Like, I just personally, really find him annoying. Right. I don't think I'm in the majority necessarily. There's something about his persona that strikes me as incredibly fake. And it's really irritating to me. Where I think, like,
And maybe I'm totally wrong on that, and it'll come off as very...
No, you might be totally right. I actually think he's been by far the best messaging operative the Trump campaign has had.
Wait, did I say J.D. Vance?
Yeah.
Okay. What I meant was Tim Walz.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry about that. J.D., my apologies. I'm in my voice.
I don't know J.D. He might be annoying. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's from Ohio. I think lots of things from Ohio are annoying. Okay.
God, this is going to be a disaster tonight, Steve. I can't even keep the name straight. Okay, let me start that over. I find Tim Walz to be incredibly annoying. The reason why my voice is shot today is because I was doing a very ridiculous impression of Tim Walz today, and my voice is just completely destroyed from it. I find him to be very, very annoying. The American people seem to like him. Mm-hmm. I don't really get it. But I feel like with J.D. Vance, there's a real opportunity here because he's been painted as this crazy person, this weirdo, mm-hmm. this strange guy that just says strange things all the time. When in reality, if you're actually watching him in these interviews, as you point out, he's been incredibly good in them. He's done a really good job so far, I think, as a messenger, and has gone into unfriendly territory and been successful there. Mm-hmm. Unlike, I mean, really anybody else on either ticket.
I think J.D. Vance is the best messaging running mate I can ever remember, and on either side. Mm. I think that the Trump campaign was completely off kilter after the swap out. For a good several, between the swap out and whatever that was on his convention speech night when we were all on the air, mm-hmm. and none of us knew what it was. Yeah. But we also, you know, the guy just gotten shot, nearly took a bullet to the face for America. So like, none of us really wanted to Monday morning quarterback his convention speech.
You can kind of say whatever you want.
But it was also probably not very effective either. And
maybe the first 20 minutes were.
I agree. Yeah. But unfortunately, there was another 65 minutes. But from during that interim, when I think the Trump campaign was really off its moorings, I mean, I thought he was as constant as the North Star. I thought he was the one big asset they had. And what Vance has been tremendous at for me as a messaging guy is messaging. And I think a lot of people think messaging is saying the same things over and over again. That's talking points.
Right.
The ability to, the core message of the Trump campaign has been, when it's on message, has been that this is a failed regime propped up by people that are largely unknown to the American people that have actually been running the country from behind the scenes because that senile vegetable can't, okay? And they're the same people that then just in the middle of the day swapped him out and put in a Manchurian candidate who got no primary votes. Mm. That's their core message. And when they're on message, and I think that's a very devastating message because it's also true. So Vance's ability to take any issue and bring it back to that core message. That's what I mean by messaging. He is rarely caught off message.
Yeah.
And I think what'll be, I think that the hard temptation, there was a lot of talk with Trump, the danger of him being overbearing to Kamala. I never really feared that because I think Trump does way better when he's on a stage with multiple personas and can play off of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. One-on-one, I don't think he did perform that great in the 2016 debates with Hillary. I think he performed even worse in the 2020 debates with Biden. I don't think he performed well at all. You could see the blood drain from my face probably on our set that night, like Dan Quayle's. Okay. But I think it's a danger for JD tonight more so. And even though he's up against a guy, you know, so there's not the but because of what you just said, all right, mm-hmm. he has been prematurely labeled as this, you know, social misfit that, you know, weird. Remember, that was their big talking point when he came out. Right. All right. And so you cannot. Tim Walz is speaking to an American male. We are not. He is speaking to the American beta male. He is speaking to the guy married to the suburban Karen who has his balls in a jar and he wants them to stay there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He wants them to remain there. He wouldn't take them back if she opened the jar and offered them to him. He doesn't want them. Okay. And so Tim Walz is there to give the American beta male, who right now in our culture is legion, permission to follow his wife's lead. Okay. And go full Glenn Close. I will not be ignored. Okay. And vote for the fatal attraction wine mom candidate. That's his role. Okay. So the normal pugilism against him, actually won't work. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're already like, wow, that guy's a real puss, you're never voting for him anyway. Mm-hmm. You're not the target demo. All right. And so he will get to play victim. You're bullying me. You're picking on me. You're a bully like your candidate, Trump. You guys don't care about the average person. And so the challenge for JD will be to not dominate him to the point that you play into the narrative that they want, but that you can keep it on the issues, which is the narrative that we want.
Mm, yeah, and there is an opportunity there. There's also an opportunity for J.D. Vance looking into 2028, right?
No question.
No matter what happens here, this
is
probably his biggest stage.
I totally agree, yeah.
Let me look at the state of this race here. Just looking at, you know, there's obviously a million different polling averages, but this one's from DDHQ. Listen to this. Arizona, Trump by 0.8. Georgia, Trump by 0.2.
Yeah.
Harris by 0.6 in Michigan. Wisconsin, 1.7 for Harris. 2.2 point lead for Harris in Nevada. North Carolina, Trump by 0.5. Harris up by 0.6 in Pennsylvania.
That's good. This is why I think there's a possibility this may have some impact, because those margins are insane.
Yeah.
And the other thing with those margins, too, and we're not analyzing a lot on our side because there's nothing to analyze. We don't know. It's like when you have like a five-star freshman recruit or a rookie quarterback, you don't really know what's going to happen until you put him out there.
Yep.
It could be Peyton Manning year one, could be, which is 23 interceptions, mm-hmm. could be C.J. Stroud year one, which is maybe the MVP quarterback of the league. You don't know.
Yeah.
But Trump has, looking at those margins, he's outsourced his get out the vote effort to all of these third party groups like Elon Musk group, like CRT, or I almost said CRTV, like Turning Point USA. Now I can't talk.
Yeah.
All right. These groups may be great. I mean, it would be hard to underperform the Republican Party's get out the vote effort.
Yes. Okay? Yeah, yeah.
But at least that was a known quantity, right? You knew you were getting a solid C minus every election campaign. So you could at least bank on the floor,
right?
We have no idea what the floor or the ceilings are of these untested groups up against the Democrat machine. They might do great. They might go C.J. Stroud. They might do great in the future, but they're not ready yet like Peyton Manning. They might look like Caleb Williams looks right now. We don't know. And so but it becomes a major story when you look at how slim those margins are. What I'm looking at are two demographic splits that I think are going to ultimately determine this. And I have no way of knowing what the actual numbers will be, but I think on election night or day or festival, whenever they're done counting, okay, mm-hmm. there's two trends we're gonna look back on and say these were the decisive trends.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had larger gender gaps for men and larger gender gaps for women than we're gonna have in this election probably, but never as large simultaneously as they are right now, mm-hmm. okay? So we have not had a majority male electorate since 1980. So if the female electorate is +6 overall, we're in trouble. If it's +4 overall, I think they're in trouble. And I don't know what that will be yet. So I think that matters. And then the other one I'm looking at, and this gets into the longshoreman issue, if there is a strike there that goes on for weeks, and this complicates a lot of political coalitions, is non-college voting whites versus college degree voting whites, okay? Trump is gonna win the former group going away
mm-hmm.
right now. Again, a bunch of people start coming out and saying, shut down the strikers, and you may alienate some of those people, we'll see. She's gonna probably win white college graduates.
Sure.
But how big is that gap, okay? Trump barely won them before. He has been losing them terribly in every poll this cycle. I don't think he'll lose them as badly as the polling, but I think he will lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, what is that margin? And then what is the margin of turnout? Which of those two groups turns out the most, okay? And
it's usually the college grads, right?
I mean, usually. And, you know, if you look at what's going on in North Carolina right now, you have Asheville and that area in Boone area, that's where Appalachian State, those are pretty blue college towns. But around all those areas and all those counties, it's all very, very red.
Yeah.
And so what is the voting capabilities of those places, you know, in a few weeks, how much have they dug out of that apocalyptic, you know, flooding and everything that they have faced? Those are things that are unknown. And that also gets us back to the turnout operation too. How good are these groups at getting to those kinds of voters and getting them out?
I want to ask you one more and then we'll take a break and come back with some other stuff on the other side. But what should the Trump campaign be doing? What are they missing right now? What should they be out there pushing on a daily basis with the last 5 weeks?
I actually think they're doing and performing very well.
Mm.
I would continue to do more of the long form interviews on the podcasts.
Yeah.
Because that's also where, and I know, you know, my understanding is Musk Group is really focused on this too, is low propensity voters. Okay. Finding people who do not traditionally vote, or don't traditionally vote for you, that a normal turnout operation wouldn't show up, you know, on a voter file or things of that nature. I would do more of that. I think they have largely been on messaging or on message. And you know me, I will complain if I have one. But I think that they have done very well. I think the stuff, the ad that I saw watching my Lions on Monday Night Football last night.
Mm-hmm. Impressive, by the way.
That was an impressive ad, the one where Kamala is for they, them, Trump is for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you put me in a sweat lodge with Aaron Rodgers for an hour, I hope I come out of that with a line that good. Yeah. Okay, that is how good that line is. That's cash money, homie. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, I would continue to do what they are doing. I think the one strategic, the rest of this is largely going to be decided by things that they cannot control, organic events, and then how these third party groups perform. The one thing I would be concerned about and wonder how much I can control is the bifurcation at the bottom of tickets around the country.
Yeah.
All right. So Carrie Lake's polling has improved a little bit. Okay. But she was in Mark Robinson zones about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, are there really that many people in Arizona if she loses by 8 or 10? Are there, there's really 10 points of voters in Arizona that want a Trump Ruben Gallego ticket? I don't know about that.
It's hard
to imagine. There's, if Mark Robinson is going to lose by 20, 15, 20, so there's 25 point swing of people who want a, you know, we're talking like a secular Jewish guy, okay, who, you know, if you're pro-Israel, you're more Jewish than probably he is, that kind of a Jewish Democrat. But they want him and Trump. That's the issue here, is that Robinson and Lake are subsidiaries of Trump. They're not like Bush Republicans that have a built-in, identity aside from Trump. And so the thing I would be concerned about is how weak do those candidates get before it's more likely they will drag me down than I will be able to pull them up. And do I have to invest in fixing or helping?
Yeah.
Because I think Trump wins North Carolina if Mark Robinson loses by 6 or 8.
Right.
I think if it's 9, 10 or more, I think I'm you know, Steve Carell, you know, office yikes.
Yeah.
Mode. Same thing in Arizona.
And it's interesting too, because I mean, I think with Arizona and North Carolina, you have candidates that have such high prominence in those mm-hmm. areas that like there's almost a physical reaction to them. Some people just can't stand Carrie Lake.
Already run statewide before.
Right. Already, yeah. Well, no. Yeah. But you notice the split even in like these like unnamed generic right. Republican races.
Right.
Like several states are like this, where you think, okay, the presidential race is really close. The Senate race should be too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like it doesn't seem to be happening. Like, you know, Nevada comes to mind. Like why aren't Republicans, you know, much closer?
I have a hypothesis I laid out on my show today.
Oh, wow.
So it's a hypothesis. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a theory.
We're testing this.
Yes,
we're just throwing it out there. Let's see how it works.
But you know, the reason why I didn't think we were just going to have a red wave, but a red wedding in 2022 mm-hmm. is because I thought that normie voter would give us the other 2 to 3 points we would need that would put us over the top, like a traditional midterm.
Yeah.
And without Trump on the ticket, the guy they supposedly don't like, they're not being asked to vote for him now,
yep.
just being asked to vote against the party in power. I am beginning to wonder if this will actually be the normie election we thought we were going to have in 22, where normies are like, okay, we gave this some time. This is unsustainable. It's chaos everywhere. All right. How much damage can Trump really do in one term, particularly if we leave Democrats in control of Congress?
Yeah.
So they can just butt heads all the time and we can have some stability. Okay. Even if I think Trump's an a-hole, right? I am beginning to wonder if this might be, because we have two things happening here, Stu, that have never occurred before in the Trump era. All right. Number one, he is polling better now. We can debate the methodologies and integrity of the polls,
sure.
but it is undebatable. He is polling better now at this juncture than in his last two campaigns.
Absolutely.
That's incredible when you look at his persona and his favorables are still underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is for the first time ever, he's polling ahead of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party has always outperformed him. Even in 2016 when he won, Republican Senate yep. candidates in every battleground state got more votes than he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so is it possible that this will actually be the election the normies are like, guy's an a-hole, but this we can't do.
Mm.
He's only in office for one more term and we'll put the Democrats in Congress and let them fight it out. And, you know, gridlock is good, like we saw with the Clinton era and the Clinton Gingrich era. Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe we're seeing some of that, because here's the thing I don't believe. I don't believe a bunch of pollsters who hate us are suddenly like, I'm tired of having no credibility, so let me overestimate Trump's support for once, right, because I want to be right.
Right.
These are all media outlets that hate us, lie about everything. They don't care about credibility where we as concerned. So I don't think that they're like suddenly got religion. So then why are those two factors there? I think we have to wrestle with that. And the only answer I can come up with is, will this be the cycle we thought we were going to get in 22, where the normie voter says, we just can't do this anymore.
Okay, that's fascinating. All right, Steve Dace, be sure to catch him on Steve Dace Show. We're going to come back with another break here in just a second. The future of the Supreme Court is on the ballot. Radical left and the crazy people in our government these days, they want to eliminate the court's conservative majority. They're not getting the decisions they want. So what are they going to do? They want to take their own handpicked justices and flood the court, pack the court. Even President Biden has gotten into the act by making reforming the court one of his final priorities before he leaves office. Don't be fooled, though. The end game is really court packing. And First Liberty Institute, thank God they're around, because they have actually called this out over and over and over again. They've called it what it is, a Supreme Court coup. That's why they're sounding the alarm, and they need you to join them. If we take action together, we can actually do something about this, but it's not going to be easy. They want to take control of the Supreme Court. As the 2024 election approaches, we need to do three things. We need to find out where the candidates are, where they stand, do your research, understand what's going on, share what you learn with everyone, do your civic duty and vote, and then say no to the left Supreme Court coup. We can do a lot of things. We can improve the country. We can secure the blessings of liberty. We can protect the future of our constitutional rights and our republic for our children and our grandchildren. So go to supremecoup.com/stew. supremecoup.com/stew. You can learn now how you can stop the radical left takeover of the Supreme Court with a great organization, First Liberty Institute. It is supremecoup.com/stew.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
We're back with Blaze TV's Steve Dace. Steve, the other big story today is Israel. Hundreds of missiles being fired from Iran and from inside the country at Israel right now. Tel Aviv, one of the big targets. What do you make of it?
I would keep close tabs on how Jordan and Saudi Arabia responds in April when Iran launched the rockets. The alliance, the post-Trump era Abrahamic Accord alliance held firm, and they were supportive of Israel. This is an even higher level of weaponry, and that would give you an idea of whether Iran remains isolated or this could escalate all the more. Also keep in mind that Bibi recognizes this is his last go-around. He survived near how many different political fallouts and everything else, and Iran has opened the door for Bibi to open a can, and I would not be shocked if that is how this ends.
This is his big opportunity, and I think, like, after seeing October 7th, if you're Israel, you have to just say, okay, enough is enough.
If you look at the state of domestic politics here in the U.S., the Democratic Party is almost entirely given over to anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. The right has a growing anti-Semitic faction growing, too. If you're Israel, you might be thinking, we got to take out some trash right now because the future is uncertain.
Do you think that they are moving quicker? Because part of my thought was, as far as, and we always relate this to American politics, maybe that's a weakness, but like they're looking at America and they know Kamala Harris is not on their side. But they know she also can't kind of come out right now, 5 weeks before an election, really denounce them. Is this a timing issue?
I think that they recognize that right now they have the momentum. They are doing things to Hamas and Hezbollah that they should have probably done many, many years ago. And is stripping regimes like Iran basically of their mask. Mm. And so everything is now out in the open now with the decimation of these terrorist groups that are just front groups for these nation states.
Yeah, these are not proxies. This is just now Iran doing it. All right, this is great stuff. Thanks so much for spending the time.
You bet, man.
Steve Dace. Be sure to catch him on the Steve Dace Show. It's right here on Blaze TV. And you're going to catch him tonight on our big VP debate coverage. It's going to be a lot of fun, and God only knows what's going to happen. I thought debates didn't make that much difference. And then I saw the first one with Trump and Biden. And I mean, I guess I can't say that anymore. Steve, thanks so much for coming on.
You bet.
So do you have a teenager in your house unsure of what to do after high school? There's a new 6-week life and career skills course from Praxis that might just be exactly what you need. For the past decade, Praxis has helped nearly 1,000 homeschoolers and recent high school graduates launch their careers without, you know, college through their mentorship program. And now they're bringing all that expertise that they've gained to help teens find their way with their new course, Discover. Discover is a 6-week self-paced course designed to equip teens with essential life and career skills, things you need, like building a professional network, making money by creating value, and developing a vision for the future. Plus, it includes a coaching call, a free resume review, and a copy of the book, Don't Do Stuff You Hate, which is pretty good advice. And now, for a limited time, they're offering listeners of this program 50% off the course if you use the promo code STU50. Code is STU50 at checkout. You'll get over $300 off right now. DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. Learn more today. DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. We created the PulseCast this year for the first time. Basically to give you a picture of what all the experts are saying. And you might say, well, I don't care about the polls, and I think they're all wrong. Well, the only way you know they're wrong is if you know what they're saying. So we created the PulseCast basically to give you a summary every single day so you know what all of them are saying kind of as a consensus number rather than trying to listen to 25 different sources. Because, you know, I get this all the time from my friends. Like, look at this poll. Trump's way ahead. Look at this poll. Trump's way behind. Well, the polls are all over the place. What do they mean in sort of, you know, as sort of all together, and in what direction are things heading? So that's what the PulseCast is. Not my opinion as to how the race is going to turn out. It's a summary of the experts' opinion. And this is the update for today. Donald Trump with a 43.93% chance to win. You see how the election has sort of moved over time, where when, you know, Trump was ahead, as Kamala came into the race, Kamala got that nice big bump when it came to all the positive media attention, started to fade, and then it actually had faded to the point that Donald Trump took the lead the day before the debate. Since the debate, though, a lot of favorable polling for Kamala Harris to move her, again, slightly ahead. This doesn't mean she's winning the popular vote by 13 points. Someone said that the other day, like, you have her winning by 13 points? No, that's not the popular vote. That is the percentage chance to win. So if you win by one vote in a key swing state, you win. That's all that is. You can even lose the popular vote and still win the election. But right now, Kamala Harris with a slight advantage, and something like anywhere above 40% or so for Trump, less than 60% for Harris, is roughly a toss-up. I mean, I would say if you wanted to pick whose hand in this card game you'd rather have, you might pick Harris, but by a very, very small margin. Now, there's a sad part of the story, too, and it is true. Biden is struggling with being out of the national conversation. I know. It's very, very sad. He's having emotional difficulties. President Joe Biden has privately complained to allies that his name and his accomplishments have virtually disappeared from the national conversation. About how quickly the party that he has served for more than 5 decades appears to have moved on from him, according to 6 people familiar with the comments. Biden has noted at times that Kamala Harris, who took his place, hasn't been mentioning him in her campaign speeches lately. This is so sad and pathetic, including when she talks about an economy he believes his policy set on a positive trajectory. Now, of course, he's wrong about that. And of course, the only thing that Kamala Harris can do is to act like the last 4 years didn't happen. That's her only real approach here. I mean, she certainly can't say Bidenomics is the same as Kamalanomics. Like, what do you think George Bush did when coming out of the Reagan era? Yeah, he said some things. They had some disagreements here and there. But largely what he was saying was, look at this amazing thing we built. Elect me and I'll continue it. That's what he was running on. That's not the case here. What's going on right now is a vice presidential candidate who's absolutely sprinting as fast as possible in the opposite direction of her president because she doesn't want anyone to realize that she was actually involved in that catastrophe of an administration that is incredibly, to this day, unpopular. So all the vibes you can try, you know, if you believe the PulseCast, the summary of the polls, you will come to the conclusion likely that, you know, she's getting all this positive media attention. And that's what's leading to these gains because it's not her policy. She's barely even released any of them. It's just vibes. And it's going to be apparently vibes versus vibes in this election. We're 5 weeks away from it. We'll have more in just a second. So I want to say a quick congratulations to Act Blue, the Democratic donor group, because it's been 15 days now without an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Well, kind of. I mean, there's been some threats throughout there, and maybe we have to actually knock that down from 15 to 0 days, because yesterday we had this situation: man charged after driving past security checkpoint at Trump rally claiming to have a bomb. Now, it seems like he didn't actually have a bomb. He had a bottle and some fertilizer, and I guess it wasn't going to actually explode. So I don't know if we count that or not. I'm losing track. It's very difficult to keep track of all of this. Just like it's honestly hard to keep track of any of this. The polls, the debates, there's so much stuff going on. We're going to do our best to kind of work you through it tonight on our VP debate coverage right here on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code STEW40. You can save $40 right now, which is like the biggest discount they've ever given. So join us there. I think you can actually see some of this on YouTube, too. I'm not sure how much, but I will say after you can watch the whole debate, you get the post-game show that a big panel is going to be on. And then after that, on youtube.com/stewdoesamerica, we'll be doing live a question and answer with you. So go there, follow the page, click the bell for notifications. We'll see you tonight.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.